Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Yes, indeed, it is about truth. A short update on my publicly called fast, the Lighthouse calendar, my thoughts on the FISA memo, and developments I'm sure we all hope will finally lead to indictments handed down on Obama, Hillary, et al. What's with Trump extending path to citizenship to 1.8 million? That's way past the 800,000 so-called dreamers. Is he giving up too much? Or is there method to his madness? And on the California front, let's take a look at Brown's farewell speech, what one reporter called his swan song, and the most recent example of California political insanity. In other words, more reasons to hope for a state split. The upcoming election will probably determine California's future more than any other before it. My friends, it's time for your brain massage. But first, let's remember, what is the science of a brain massage?
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
You know how Rush, from time to time, will get off on talking about cigars or football. And, you know, those who are passionate about those things really enjoy it. But most of us are like, you know, come on. There are a whole lot of things to talk about more important than cigars and football. Let's get back to what matters to me. I know that when I talk about things that are spiritual in nature, the importance of the church, various doctrinal concerns, state of Christianity today, or as in the case today, fasting, a not insignificant portion of my audience yawns, gets uncomfortable, agitated, annoyed, and, you know, on the other hand, those of my audience who are Christians are delighted and enjoy these forays. Now, I would like my audience to understand that these things are interrelated. Every radio guy knows that keeping audience attention is key to success in this business. Now, this show throws information at you so fast you can't blink without missing something. And I am aware that relevance is key, which is the reason I wait till Friday to finalize the show for a weekend broadcast. I want to be at the bottom of the news wave with board pointed toward the beach so I can ride into the weekend on a fresh wave. Sometimes it is necessary to catch a whitewater ride, but that's okay. So long as it's the wave for the weekend. Now, all of this I'm saying to assure you that I'm not oblivious to these things. These are concerns. As for finding biblical truths to guide us in our understanding of what's going down, well, that's never a problem. So everyone stay with me, because I think you'll be surprised at just how relevant to all of us, Christian and agnostic and atheist and, well, whatever you might be spiritually, you'll be surprised at how relevant fasting is to all of us. So first, let me address concerns some have about publicly talking about a personal fast. The scripture that is typically appealed to is Matthew 6:15-18, which talks about God who sees in secret will reward you openly. And obviously, anyone who boasts about his or her fasting experience is announcing that it meant nothing to God. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the lowly. In Matthew 6, Jesus is not telling us we're not supposed to let anybody know we're fasting. It's not talking about us being in secret, but him who watches us from his secret place. And I'll show that to you in the text in a moment. But consider, there are public fasts in which it's necessary that everybody knows you're fasting. as in the days of Esther, or in Acts 13 when the church was fasting together, and in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, I believe it is, where it's clear your spouse needs to know you're fasting. That seems obvious. Furthermore, many fasting stories are related to us in the Bible as testimonies that are helpful and encouraging. The text is telling us that we fast for him who sees in secret, and not for those who are watching in public. It's about who you're fasting for. It's about whose attention you're trying to call. If you're attempting to bring the attention of the world to your fast, well, you're going to find that's pretty empty and meaningless. I mean, you might get a few shallow rewards in the praise of men, if that's worth anything to you. But otherwise, all you did was get yourself hungry. So it's about whose attention you are fasting for and not about who knows whether or not you're fasting. I called this fast publicly, which makes it a public fast, of course. Those who responded to my call, and thank you, pastors, for joining me in fast, and so many of my church members who gathered together with me in this, especially those who actually participated. All of you deserve to know that I did fast and I prayed with effectual fervency. I sought the Lord. So as a teaching opportunity and for all of you to understand the relevance here, I'm going to offer a brief report on my latest season of fasting and prayer as a testimony to its effectiveness and relevance. I broke my fast Wednesday night about 10 p.m. after almost 9 days. When I go into these extended fasts, I almost never set, in fact, I can't think of a time when I ever set an end date. I don't fast to see how long I can go. I fast till I get where I'm trying to get. I'm not in competition with anyone. I don't believe, by the way, that the length of a fast has anything to do with its effectiveness, except insofar as what is necessary to get your soul humble before God. And let me make a comment on that. That's what it's about. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. And since God draws near to those who are of a contrite spirit, who are humbled, and the point of prayer is to draw near to God to obtain mercy in order to get the grace we need to help us in our time of need, well then fasting is about breaking down the strength of the flesh over our spirit, our mind, our will, and our affections, allowing us then to turn our full attention, followed by our affections, producing necessary attitude corrections through confession of sin, and all of that preparing us to take action in this world that will produce a holy effect upon it. Now, since submitting yourself to God is prerequisite to resisting the devil so that he will flee, fasting is sometimes necessary in order to reach that place of submission to God's will that will empower you to effectively resist the devil and break his hold on your life. You know, the life of your family, your church, your community, your state, nation, and even principalities that hold entire nations. And I'm getting a little bit deeper into this than I intend to. I do go into a fast with specific objectives in view. An extended fast is always a response to something God is doing in my life. You know, burdens that become so heavy it bears down on my spirit over an extended period, consistently, or develop a general sense that my spirit is becoming increasingly alienated from His Holy Spirit, or the concerns that I have for, say, our nation or my family or church and so on become so overwhelming, together with a sense that, you know, routine or standard operating procedure prayers are not cutting it. There seems to be a lack of fervency in my prayers and a lack of effectuality in the performance of my duties. And I recognize I need more spiritual power. I know I'm up against the kind of devil or devils that Jesus warned us about in Matthew 17 that can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. So the point of all this is that when I enter into a period of extended fasting, as soon as I believe the Lord has met with me, that I am assured by him through his word that the connection has been made, that like Jacob, who refused to let go until he was assured of the blessing, I come to a peace that the blessing has been secured. Well, that's when I'm comfortable to break my fast. And I arrive there Wednesday night at about 10 p.m. Now, here is something I think you'll find interesting. Usually what I'm praying for is not the sort of thing you can expect to see right away. And in some cases, you might never see it. Usually I find, however, that God has a way of letting you know, eventually, or right away, that he is listening or that he has heard. For example, back in the mid-70s, I began the practice of opening an atlas, laying my hand over this or that country and praying fervently that God would open the door to the gospel in those countries. For some time now, I've been doing that, laying my hands over the Middle East. And back then, I was especially praying for Russia and China. It seemed that each time I prayed over the atlas, I kept being drawn to pray God to bring down the bamboo and the iron curtains. Now, many of you have heard my testimony regarding Russia, and I won't go into it here. I've been there 9 times and helped start a Bible college since the iron curtain came down. But recently, some wonderful ladies in my church brought to me some books giving testimony to what God has been doing in China, and it's wonderful. Over 100 million Chinese have come to Christ, and much of it began stirring among the little remnant that was already in place there in the 70s. All those years praying for China, and I didn't know about this, but God was working mightily in the house church movement. All right, let's wrap it up here. My wife had a deep aching in her back on her left side, and I could hear her moaning through the night and during the day. She became so concerned about this, she wrote out instructions for feeding her animals. And when she was asked about this, she revealed that she was concerned she might have something very seriously wrong with her, and she felt she might not be around to take care of us or the animals. I wasn't ready for that. Figuring we'd get along, she wanted to make sure the animals were taken care of. I knew she was hurting, but until then, I did not understand how serious this problem was to her. Well, the first night of my fast, first day is always the most difficult for me these days, I was praying, she was moaning, and I began groaning in fervent prayer for her. And essentially, I said this, Lord, I really need to know that I'm not just vainly making myself hungry here. I have no interest in that. I have serious things I need to talk to you about. I'm sorry for my lack of faith, but I really need you to do something right now that will encourage my faith and help me into this season of fasting. Would you please heal my wife right now? I did not pray this aloud, so she didn't hear it. I was praying this from my heart in near agony of soul. She stopped moaning. Yeah, she drifted off to sleep. Next day I asked and she said, yeah, pain's entirely gone. I knew right then that this was going to be a productive fast, and it was. The next day I was praying, and almost all of my attention was directed to Mueller and that phony Russia collusion investigation. I prayed very specifically that the light of truth would shine on all that and all the junk would be revealed. Now, I think it was the next day or the day after news broke out about the FISA memo. That's not coincidence. Now, this helps me know that the other things I was praying about, and there are many, are surely heard. In fact, the night I broke my fast, the last two things I was particularly concerned about, God gave me two key scripture promises that addressed them both, and I had peace. And I knew he was releasing me from my fast, so I secured the blessing. Well, that took a little longer than I expected. Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern light. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry art, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. There are some exciting things coming up this year at the Lighthouse, God willing, and I can't wait to let you know about it. I think you know that I have an earned doctorate in theological studies and that I've studied prophetic scripture intensely for over 40 years. I've conducted prophecy conferences up and down California and several other states in our union, Canada, Fiji, Russia, a couple other countries I can't think of right now, and taught courses on this subject in Bible colleges, yada, yada. But now I'm going to pull it all together in a complete and comprehensive course on prophetic scripture at the Lighthouse. My prophecy class will begin February 18th. Now, this is a comprehensive and serious study of Bible prophecy. It's no nonsense. By the time we are through, you will have studied virtually every end-time biblical prophecy in the Bible. It's called Daniel and Revelation with Dr. Scheidbach. The classes are taught at Lighthouse Baptist Church on Sunday mornings at 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday beginning February 18. Now, you can follow the class by attending the lectures live at the church or by viewing them online via Facebook or YouTube. You could also arrange to have DVDs of the lectures sent to you weekly. Of course, there's a charge for that. All who register for the course and attend the classes at the Lighthouse, the church will pay for you to receive, free, a digital copy of my book, Know Your Bible Investigations, Revelation Part 1. It's over 500 pages of notes providing what is probably the most extensive study on the first three chapters of Revelation you'll find anywhere. Also, you'll get a free digital copy of the latest edition of My Notes on the Visions of Daniel. That's another 400 plus pages of what I warrant is the most thorough and insightful study of Daniel available. Free. Furthermore, you'll receive weekly digital copies of my notes and outlines for each lecture. And as a bonus, you'll be invited to become part of a private Facebook page group where we can create a forum for prophetic discussions where you can have direct access to me to ask your questions, offer your insights, and get feedback from others. For those who prefer to register to participate via live stream, well, you can also have all of these benefits I've mentioned, but we're going to ask for a small donation to cover the costs. To register for the course, go online to santamarialighthouse.org, click on the registration menu button, top right, on the home page, and choose the course you want to register for from the drop-down menu. Complete the form and make the appropriate donations if you need to and so on, and you're in. And now the next exciting offering. Many of you know about my book, Know Your Bible Introductions, an introduction to every book in the Bible. It is in peer review right now. Then it will go through some additional rewrite and proofreading before publication, but you can have a digital copy of the book for free, courtesy of Lighthouse Baptist Church, when you register for my new preaching series, which will begin March the 4th, where I'll take you through the entire Bible with inspiring and insight-packed messages on every major Bible story. It's a great way to get an overview of the entire Bible. The series is titled Know Your Bible Insights. It begins March 4th, and of course, all are welcome to attend, but those who register for this course will receive the digital book and my notes and outlines for each message throughout the course. Again, the way to register is to go online, santamarialighthouse.org, click on the registration menu button, top right, find Know Your Bible Insights in the drop-down menu, and then complete the form. Like all of our courses, those who attend the church receive the digital book free. Those who register as live stream students are asked for a small donation to cover costs. All right, or you could call, by the way, 805-714-7731 and speak to Becky, and she'll help you get registered. All right, my thoughts on the FISA memo and developments I'm sure we all hope will finally lead to indictments handed down on Obama, Hillary et al. Mueller, all the rest of them. Mueller is shifting his focus from collusion to obstruction of justice. I wonder why. Could it be that the FISA memo reveals support for allegations of a deep state conspiracy to commit a coup against the voters in America, to unseat a duly elected president and overturn an election? You've been following this, right? I mean, you know this is a white water ride, right? This wave is already broken. I get it. But you know the particulars, right? The missing texts have been and are in the process of being recovered. Mueller and friends did not believe there was any real case for collusion almost from the very beginning of this farce investigation. That unless collusion to commit a crime is established, there's no crime to investigate. That the FBI has been turned into a political Gestapo marching under the orders of an agenda to subvert the United States Constitution. That participants in this, among themselves, openly discussed how important it was that they don't prosecute Hillary for her crimes because, well, she might be president, you know, and you got to watch out. They were expecting reprisals, and I think they have some good reason to be concerned about that, right? Because if they went at this investigation with guns blazing, they might pay the Clinton price, which sometimes it seems, you know, very interestingly, to include conveniently and mysteriously coming up dead. Yeah, it's clear they were concerned about reprisals from a Hillary administration if they prosecuted her case like they would any other. And now we know that the phony dossier was used as basis for FISA warrants, which means that there is a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment protection of a citizen of the United States of America by our government. Actually, more than one. And that all of this was done to help Hillary win, to make Trump lose, and after Trump won, to obstruct him from doing the job the American people sent him to Washington to do, including drain the swamp so these scummies would go down in the swirl. Now that it has come out that the dossier was phony, that these so-called meetings with the Russians were nothing about colluding with Russia, that in fact, if Trump Jr. did get dirt on Hillary from the Russians, he did not, by the way, but if he did, newsflash, that's not illegal. I would consider it unseemly, but it is not a crime. The entire time they've been spending all these resources pursuing an investigation into an activity that is a political issue and not a criminal one. It's exactly what it's the thing we fear the most to happen in our government. Our founders were more concerned about that than anything else. Otherwise, Hillary, Obama, and the rest of these yahoos would be chargeable for collusion themselves to interfere with our election, for paying for the dossier provided by the Russians. But let me tell you what is a crime: colluding to conspire to violate an American citizen's constitutional rights. And that's what this information that's come out lately, that's what it shows that Obama was doing and the rest of his crowd. And the proof is coming out more and more. So Mueller has very limited options here, my friend. He needs to string this out long enough for a hoped-for retaking of the Congress by the Democrats. Well, then he can breathe easy because the most corrupt party in politics, probably in history, maybe anywhere in the world today, will certainly move to provide cover for him to hide from prosecution. Otherwise, if things keep getting out there, he's in trouble. And he knows it. So he has one option. Pour it on. Step up the attack. Every cornered animal becomes most ferocious just before it's supper time, if you know what I mean. Not surprised that in the face of all that is coming out, Mueller acts like he's really onto something now. Onto obfuscation and obstruction of his own making. So Mueller is turning his attention away from collusion to obstruction. Hold on here. Does not anyone know the law? Unless his instructions here were much more broad than I understand, he is a special prosecutor. His investigation is narrowly focused on the subject of that investigation, which is possible collusion. He's not a special prosecutor charged with exploring whether or not Trump obstructed justice. That belongs to the DOJ. That would be under Sessions' jurisdiction. If the DOJ wants to pursue that matter, and if it is thought a special prosecutor is warranted, well, then that needs to go through proper channels. These people are so destroying our protections. If the government can simply pursue political enemies at their whim, somebody get that pack of wolves under control. All right, so you're going to love this. Mueller has come to virtually admit what he knew all along. There's no case to be made for Russian collusion, at least not with Trump and the Ruskies. Oh, no, don't look over there at the obvious proof of Russian collusion between Hillary and Russia. No, keep your attention over here. Over here. Yeah, that's better. Now that it's settled there was no Trump-Russia collusion, Mueller has turned his attention to possible obstruction of justice charges stemming from his firing phony baloney Comey. So, what is the allegation? Well, Trump fired Comey to interfere with his investigation into Trump-Russia collusion. Are you beginning to see? But there was no Trump-Russia collusion. So how can Trump be charged with trying to obstruct justice when there was no justice issue to obstruct? As president, he has the prerogative to fire the FBI director. He also has the power to fire Mueller. I understand he thought about firing Mueller back in June. But his team backed up from him on that and said they would resign before they carried out the order. I was rejoicing when I heard that Trump was about to fire that guy. I've been calling for that almost from the very beginning. When Mueller was first named, I said, that's a bad idea. That's bad news. He's the wrong guy, wrong move. And thereafter, I've been calling for that guy to be fired all along. I knew it was a mole, an Obama-Hillary mole. Mole-faced Mueller. Glad to hear Trump saw it too. Saw it too late, I think. Why did his friends oppose it? Politics. Don't you understand Trump's greatest strength is his willingness to do what is right to be done without being hamstrung by politics. He should be fired because he is incompetent and crooked and because he's a deep state operative serving the interests of a personal ideological agenda that is not in the interest, that is actually against the interests of the people of the United States of America. And he's willing to violate the laws of our land and to encroach on the liberties of the citizens of these United States in order to serve those alien interests. He's a traitor. Obama's a traitor. Hitler's a traitor. Comey's a traitor. Every one of these characters and others who have sworn allegiance to uphold the Constitution, who have driven a knife in the back of our liberties and wiped their dirty feet in our Constitution, it's treason. America, wake up! These people are destroying our Constitution and taking away the protections of your liberties, my friend. They are turning the law into an enemy of liberty. And that's the point. That's the problem. So there you have it, as my beloved Dove would say. I don't understand why Sessions is not stepping in and reining Mueller in. He should be telling that jackal he has no business pursuing some other case when he has not even made the case he was charged to investigate in the first place. It's wrong, and it's serious, too, by the way. The stakes are high. And even a coward, when he's cornered, can be expected to fight ferociously for his survival. So take the shot, Trump. Make your case, lay it out to the American people, and take your shot. Trump is getting impatient with Sessions, too. Sessions hopes to stay in the background, I think, and wait out this storm, you know? Yeah, Weasel, speak up! You know, we need to hear from him! You know, Mueller's running outside the lines here, right? You need to rein him in! I thought Sessions was simply building his case. I wonder now. Seems to me he's hunkered down, holding on. He needs to do his job. Now, that should get your millibars popping. Now to DACA! The Dems caved and Trump responds by extending an olive branch? Well, that's weird. The Dems back down, something we haven't seen since Reagan. The Dems blink, they flinch, they lost the stare down. Is Trump a gracious victor? Here's what has come down. After the Dems lost the shutdown showdown, Trump has extended his hand to them again and offered something to them he knows they really want, amnesty and path to citizenship to all illegal immigrants brought here by their parents. That extends the original deal significantly from 800,000 illegals to 1.8 million, and many on the right are up in arms. Now, what I'm going to say next, it's not an I told you so. I'm not crowing here. It's not because, friend, I have qualms about this on both sides of the issue, narrowly defined as what to do with these people who were brought here against their will or without their will, and so on as minors and whatever. So let me say first, any so-called dreamer burning the American flag in protest, gone. On the next bus to the border, deported, and then kick their ungrateful rear end across the border. Gone. Second, here's where I become ambivalent. The Bible says we don't have to punish the children for the sins of their parents. If a kid was brought here as a minor or born here, and they are Americanized, I mean, not one of these La Raza types, okay? None of that. Not that monster Luis Bracamontes, that illegal who killed two deputies and in court laughed and using profanity said he was only sorry he did not kill more of them. The death penalty, period. So some vetting is in order, but I have mixed feelings about uprooting these people from their homes if America has indeed become their home. But Americans, and I totally get this, by the way, Americans have become so angry about non-action by our government on this issue, they've come to the point where they're saying, get them out of here. Round them up, ship them out, and they're angry. Do you remember, those of you who have followed this show for some years know this, how many times, almost in tears, with great concern, I've said this was going to happen. If this country did not do something about getting our borders under control, many times for years now, I've said that. And sadly, that's where a very large number of Americans are today. God help us. But I knew Trump did not want to knee-jerk deport these who were born here or brought here by their parents and who were raised here, reared here, and who actually see America as their home. I knew that. And you know what? I have sympathy for that position. Sorry, I have to dodge rocks here. To be honest with you, I do. Now, I was concerned that his sympathies might go more broad than mine. Happily, I was wrong so far. But I'm not the least surprised that he wants to extend path to citizenship to all Hispanics who were born here or brought here as minors and who grew up in this country and for whom America really is their country. I mean, in terms of perspective, not legal standing. And there is something else here, too, that I see. There is some method to his madness. I think Trump knows that Dems do not want Trump to succeed at making this deal. Yeah, I think he knows that. They don't want him to be the one that actually does something for these people. Not like Obama did, you know, just to make them perpetually obliged to them, you know, just put him in suspension and have him hanging there. Trump wants to set them free and give them something real. Now, this is a great way to position the Dems to totally implode. He plays them like a concert violinist plays a Stradivarius. He actually would like to do this. I don't think that, you know, I think he does want to do this. And his deal includes some very tough actions on border control and immigration enforcement, so the other illegals will be hotly pursued, even curtailing legal immigration down to 50% of what it's been, all of that to give us time to absorb those who are here now. What will the Dems do with this man? The Dreamers are already furious with their own leadership over their inability to do anything about this. Now Trump offers them this. What are they going to do? I think there's method to his madness. And for Trump, well, he can't lose if they take the deal or if they refuse it. Either way, Trump wins. And I believe so do we. I'm out of time. Bummer. So much to talk about, so little time. Sunday night is the last Sunday of the month. And that means the Lighthouse Baptist Church is sponsoring Issachar Report sometime with the Rain Missouri. It begins at 6 p.m. and we have a meal following the service. Nothing fancy, but we'll feed you and we'll chat together about, well, whatever you want to talk about. My topic will be for the message that night, what is to become of California? I'm going to offer a biblical blueprint to save our state. Come on out. Be my guest. 6 p.m. Sunday night. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you come and let me know you see they are on. Call me directly at 805-714-0785 or go to our website, brainmassage.net. And I look forward to hearing from you and I look forward to seeing you. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org.